Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. Please tell your friends, tell your family, tell your relatives, tell your acquaintances, tell your neighbors, hell, even tell your enemies. This is Cocooning the Microphone. Whew. Oh my God, I'm back. My God, I'm back. I'm back from the. I can't believe I'm actually back on the radio. I can't believe I'm actually back part of the system again. I can't believe I'm back, period, but. This boy's back in town, but let me start from the beginning. Good people, my name is DJ Butterfly Feces, and I am back, and let me tell you what I'm back from. I'm back from the street. Okay, now surely you've heard some poser tell you they're hardcore, let's say that they're from the street. I actually am. No, not born, but raised. I spent a great deal of time there. Oh, man, do I have a story to tell you. Yeah, I was homeless. I was a vagabond. I was living off the street. Which street in particular? Oh, see, that's the best part. I was all over. I was all over the place. I was all over every street. I kid you not. See, me personally, I was living, well, I was homeless. I was a vagabond. See, that's the term I want to use. I don't like the term hobo, because you know that other word it sounds like. Or vagabond. No. Hobo or bum. Or derelict. Vagrant has kind of a term to it, but I prefer vagabond. I was a vagabond. See, that's the term that I basically used when I... Well, let me start from the beginning. My name is DJ Butterfly Feces, and this is not my first time on the radio. Yeah, look, it's not even my first time on Blog Square. I had a show before. I ain't kidding, honey. I had a show. I had a career. I had it everything. I did this show just like this, basically. From my home, on my parents' phone, in my bedroom. See, I was still living with my family because the thing is, well, things were bad all over. Now, see, in high school, I worked very hard. No, throughout my life, I worked hard not to be a geek because the longest time a geek was the worst thing you can be. It's true when you're a geek, you have everything going for you. When you're a kid, being a geek is the worst thing to be. They all get together in line to beat the crap out of you. And the farther back you go in history, the worse it was to be a geek. Being a geek didn't become a cool, hip thing until sometime in 2000. You know, it's just kind of an irritating, scary thing. Because, like, every generation is the opposite of what the previous generation was, you know? You work hard to toe the line personally and whatever, and then everything changes. It's like, for example, I don't want to go bald. I don't want to lose my hair. Throughout history, is that the worst thing that had happened? A man with a big, burly, virile mop of hair, no matter how it gets in his eye, even if it's ugly and undone. Nothing was sadder than a bald man. Then 2000-something, the 2000 period, and what happened? The bald thing came into style. It's like what they were telling us about the future and whatever. In the future, everyone's going to be bald. Everyone's going to wear, like, the same uniform. Everyone's going to have serial numbers. Everyone's going to be plugged into the system. Well, it finally happened. Terrifying thought. You know, I saw vagrants, vagabonds in the street, homeless people themselves. A couple people who still had a cell phone with them somehow. Still scratching my head over that one, but we'll get back to that when we do. Anyway, I spent time as a homeless person. But most of my life I spent in McKinleyville, California. That's my hometown. That's my alma mater. Let me tell you something. Of all the places I visited, nothing was better than McKinleyville. McKinleyville, we had everything. You know, now, we have patriotism. Now, Canada tells you they got everything in Canada. So much of Canadians never really want to leave. Unless, of course, they basically want to become movie stars. They got to come out to Hollywood. No. Well, guess what? We in McKinleyville really had everything. It was a part of America. See, we're in Northern California. It's the area of California where there was snow. There was snow up here. We had a beach. We had the woods. You know, we had the best of all worlds. We had a beautiful suburban kind of neighborhood. McKinleyville was home of the tallest totem pole where horses have the right of way. I hiked. I rode a horse. I rode a bike. I saw everything. I did that. I went sledding, skiing, snowboarding, and surfing. Because we have a beach, too. Beautiful rocks climb, man. Rock climb. We had everything in McKinleyville. We have a beautiful waterfall. There was something. McKinleyville had everything. So much that few people ever wanted to leave. You know when they left? When they had to. You know what I'm talking about? Because the town's so beautiful and quaint with everything going on. You know, everyone's going to want to stay. Everyone's going to want to get in there and, you know, whatever. You know something? There weren't necessarily enough houses. There weren't necessarily enough jobs and whatever. Parents wanted me to get a job. I said I wanted to, but where was their work? Because let's be honest. You know what I'm talking about. There's no such thing as tenure. Now, many of you remember, there was a time when old age was revered, worshipped, respected. It wasn't just basically polite to respect old people. They knew everything. They knew the score. That's not the case anymore. No, isn't it? The older you got, the less valuable, the more obsolete you became. Old people used to know the score was better than anything else. Now we have the internet, which is changing every few seconds. Everyone's got an internet phone. People don't talk to, no one talks to each other anymore. No one has direct contact with each other. They text. You know, it's kind of funny. There was a time when literally staying up all night typing dirty words, dirty little texts to each other was considered the most pathetic thing possible. Now I think that's actually cooler than having real sex. What time are we living in? What planet are we living on? Anywho, back to my point. I'll tell you something. It was something glorious. And, of course, by the time I graduated, got my GED, they kicked my butt out the door and they said, wait a minute, they just said, get out. I was one of the people who basically wasn't even part of the ceremony. My diploma came in the mail. Better also saying, oh, brother, you better have some kind of superhuman talent because it's bad all over. And don't get me wrong, I love McKinleyville. It was basically great to do whatever, but once again, I felt like I did everything. And there were no jobs to get. Notice nobody does anything anymore. Not directly. No one goes to a mall anymore. Everyone buys everything online. Everybody streamlines everything. There's more and more people nowadays, and there's basically almost no use for them. It's a terrifying thought. It really is. And you know something? I was living in my bedroom. I called it my apartment, really, basically a studio. But the thing is, I wasn't even paying rent on it. It was just something I said, so it sounded less pathetic. I'm still living at home. The thing is, nowadays, everybody's moving back home. Because even college graduates aren't able to find work, necessarily. Things are bad. Real bad. Maybe technology evolved too much. Maybe that was a problem. Maybe we lost sight of what was supposed to make us human. That way, every single night when I was basically on my Blog Talk radio show right here, it wasn't just pushing buttons that played records. It wasn't just doing news, weather, and traffic. I was talking about what we need to do to save the world. As anybody in radio should do nowadays. I don't know what happened to us. My parents said, you got to go. Can't afford to take you anymore. If you don't get rid of you, we're all going to be on the street. So they drop kicked me out the door, and in the end I realized they did make the right decision. I had almost nothing but the clothes on my back. Once again, my room was a bare spare. I didn't have much to pack with me. There I was, out there on the street. You know, it's funny. I still was basically, when you're first homeless, it doesn't quite sink in. You're still in a state of denial. You're thinking to yourself, no, come on. I still got a place to live. They'll come back to their senses. I'm not like the rest of them. Go to the beach or something or hang out until they basically come to their senses. Okay, let's say they don't. I can make it out there on my own. I'll make it. Yeah. Anywho, there I was basically. You know what I did? I just go to the beach. I went for a long walk. I went on the trail. I happened to come across some of the local vagrants. And, you know what? They were basically sitting there at the campfire. Now, in a way, when I was a kid, I sort of admired vagrants. There were guys I thought personally just were homeless, like, full-time, you know? Like campers. They were full-time campers. That's what I meant. They were campers, you know? They got to camp and hang out in the woods and walk and do whatever. They got to basically, you know, camp out all the time. You see, when you're a kid, there's certain things that just seem so cool, you know? Living in a car, living in a box, living in a tent by the beach full time. It seems cool, doesn't it? It does, don't it? You don't realize. So you're old enough. All those things that seem so cool, just give it some time, and they just seem so stupid. I don't want to put them down, because you know something? Maybe it was cool. Because really, honestly, they, in a way, were living the dream. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean. Okay, listen, speaking of somebody who just got off the street himself, let me just be the one to say that I personally think that everybody should experience this for a while, to know what it's like to be a vagrant, just for a while. Everyone should be living off the land, be a vagabond, trying to get by and whatever. But of course, let's be totally honest here. You see, the scary thing is my father always used to tell me, you know, you got to be careful because when you get on the street, you may never get off. Never. But anyway, you know, I'm here. I might as well enjoy it. So I sat down, enjoying myself, eating, drinking, resting, relaxing with the other vagabonds. I love them. I love this. I don't know why I do. I was enjoying. You know what I did? We stayed up all night and talked. You know that moment where you basically are of a certain age and you sit up having a conversation with some wise, sage, wistful people all night long? You know, that's what happened. One more thing that should happen to everybody. You get what I mean? It's a habit you got to make to yourself. You know, toeing the line, a job, a place to live. If you trip and fall, you can't walk the lawn. You might never get off. That's a terrifying thought, isn't it? But it's real. It's so real. Anywho, it happened to me. There I was sitting there relaxing. We were talking about everything. We're talking about how bad things are. Now, I don't want to get too political, because let's be honest. If I put political stuff on this show, it's just going to feel pretty dated right away. We're talking about how bad things were. We're talking about how things have really fallen apart. Things are in a bad way. We're talking about how much better it was in countries over. And there were some who basically talked about how the others were saying, well, I love this country. I always have. And in the end, I just literally wasn't sure I wanted to live anywhere else. But even those patriotic were leaving, jumping ship. You know, it's a terrifying epidemic, you know. It's like, say, things are bad in Mexico, and they're trying to break the border to get up here and come into America, and the Americans are trying to get into Canada. Actually, some are actually trying to swim all the way across the Atlantic, like a schmuck, hat in hand, go begging back to the Queen of England saying, I was sorry, America didn't work out. I want to thank God save the Queen from now on. Eat fried fish at a newspaper. And basically, saying America didn't work. Things are bad, man. Isn't this happening? Isn't this been happening? As we sat there that night, we talked about who we were. I told them my story, what it was like being me, how I spent a lot of my time in school personally trying to basically just get by, get through. No one knew who I was. I was kind of a hermit. I had a few very selected group of friends, but we mostly talked outside of school. We didn't play high school politics. We were separate from all that. So good. And they told me their stories. They were hardworking, decent people who got fired because somebody younger came along. Because all their businesses went out of business. It's whatever, because we live in a time where a lot of stuff is becoming obsolete and there's not really a way to... Man, what do you do? What do you do? Start talking about life, about everything, things that really mattered, you know? One thing they told me is how basically they were brothers, family on the street. Is that we're all united, really united in a big way, how we're like a certain tribe. No, they were like a certain tribe. They were like a certain collection of followers. Like a circus. They were united. And they just moved about. And you know what? They didn't personally have to keep tap dancing, walking the line for anybody. They had broken bad. For those of you who don't know, it's an old Southern term, what it means when someone goes off the beaten path. It can last a day or a lifetime. I shook their hands. And then there was one of them got up and basically told me his story. He was a tall, 6'10", heavyset African-American man. Said his name was OK. Now, here's the thing. In town, I kind of knew everybody. I did. I didn't know this guy. I really honestly didn't. I was intimidated by him. Big guy. But he said, he shook his hand, my hand and said, "Lo, I'm okay." That's good. No, that's why he called me organic okay. See, everything's getting organic now. We're getting back to nature. Giving up processed chemicals and getting organic off the land. That's what we're doing, living off the land, free spirit and all that. See, I'm going around here in the world, and I'm picking stuff up. I'm cleaning everything. I'm personally trying to, I'm not homeless. I got a place to stay. I'm going on a world tour to clean up and pick up and take care of everything. That's what I'm doing. I nodded. I was a little nervous. But whatever. Whatever. I didn't really know what to say. Tell me something. What's your story? Smiled at me. I just told you. Listen, I want you to join. I want you to come pick stuff up with us. Don't just live in the filth. Help clean it up. Be part of this kind of culture thing. It's a society and all that. What's your name? I told him my name. He said, no, man, you need a moniker. You need like a handle. You need a, like a nickname? No, man. A nickname is basically something you get when you're on a basketball team. You need a moniker. You're a patriot. I said, okay, how about Atom Bomb? One of the ones slapped me. Boy, you can't give yourself a nickname. Don't you dare try to give yourself a nickname, you know? I knew a kid who basically tried to nickname himself. You know what? He had no friends. Well, I mean, nobody wanted to be his friend after that. He had no friends after that, dude. Only the biggest loser give himself a nickname. Don't give yourself a nickname. I know one. So here, let me tell you a story. You know, everyone knows the story about the caterpillar. The caterpillar who basically goes into his little workshop, spins a cocoon, so he can toil and create and emerge and develop into a butterfly. Everyone knows about that. Everyone. I nodded. Do you know, basically, here's the thing. When the butterfly emerges, the butterfly flaps through the air. Gorgeous, just everyone especially sees its wings, so beautiful. Tell me something. You know that when that butterfly drops waste, drops crap, it ain't just crap. You know what it is? It's fertilizer. It fertilizes the land. It basically, people think that crap is worthless. It's smelly. It's got, you know, food, waste, diseases, but it caused everything to grow. That's what manure is. That's what fertilizer is. People say, okay, you are listening to the show Cocooning the Microphone, which is exactly what I'm talking about, which is connected to. It's 30 minutes after the hour, 9:30 here on the program. This program is brought to you by Maya Harrison, the recording artist who has been traveling the world herself quite extensively. And her Maya Smooth Tour is still active and seeing much, much, much of the world. As much of the world as there can possibly be. Good people. Okay, please, we're here on the program. Now, I'd humbly like to ask all of you to please tune in, call, get involved with the cause itself, okay? Get involved with Cocoon and the Microphone. Get involved with a homeless epidemic that is flourishing. Okay, guest call-in is 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. Okay? Anywho, as I was sitting there, just honestly thinking about I can't believe this is happening. But he told me, get involved. Get involved, okay? Not there on the street. Travel with us. Travel the world with us. Let's do this together. Give it a hoot, don't pollute. It's not just about picking up trash so the Indian won't cry. No. See. Things are bad right now. The difference is saving the planet. This could be the counterculture that they were trying to do in the 60s that didn't work out. This time it could work. We could be the one to do it. Reuse. Recycle. Resuscitate. This planet. Because let me tell you something. It ain't got to be like in a science fiction fantasy where honestly someday we can all pack our stuff and get another planet until we screw that one up and jumping around so far and so forth like locusts, you know. It doesn't work that way. Have you ever seen they found a planet that can take life like this one? Is there? Is there really? Look around. This is it. Save life on this giant ball that's mostly covered with water. I don't know what to say. All right, I'll come with you guys. But I mean, what are we going to do outside of, you know, McKinleyville, whatever? He left. He left and said, don't worry, we're going to take you with us in the morning. Where are you going? You'll see. You'll see. Somehow when he said you'll see, he didn't give me a specific, exact destination. I feel uneasy. You know, it's like when somebody basically tells you to get in the car, and they say, do it, don't ask questions. You don't feel safe, you know. But anywho, what was I to do? They invited me to basically to one of their tents. I didn't get any sleep that night. Yeah, I was so excited. I was so moved. But at the same time, I was so damn uncomfortable. Look, you know the first night when you sleep on the street, the first night, it just doesn't go well. You know what I mean? It doesn't. I just was not comfortable at all. I don't know why I was so uncomfortable. I think, why was that? Look, the first night basically you're on the street, you know, you're used to sleeping in a bed, you know? You know, it's funny, you know, when you're a kid, you can sleep almost anywhere. You can sleep at your desk in school. You don't want to lie down and take naps. But when you get older, you're going to live for them. But honestly, when you're a kid, I mean, there's a reason you don't want to sleep in your bed. Mommy and Daddy always have the most comfortable bed. You can sleep there on the sofa. You can sleep outside in the yard, in a tent, in the treehouse, in the back of Mom and Dad's car, and you want to. It's a strange sense of independence, like you're free. But when you're a certain age and you're still... But, you know, no. When you finally have the first night, when you're sleeping, Dude, in a tent. I know, I've been camping before, but somehow this was different. As you guessed, it was dirty and smelly. I wasn't used to the smells, man. I was not used to this. Okay, I just got here. I was so riveted by both of these guys, I couldn't wait to carry out this man's message. But I was thinking to myself at the same time, dear God, I'm a homeless person now. That's right, it sunk in. I was realizing that I was... Where was I going? What was I going to do? I didn't get any sleep that night. I basically was wondering, maybe this guy's just a crackpot, you know? This guy. Now, he fancied himself the prophet, the visionary. And let me tell you right now, he was. Let me save the suspense. He was. But you know how it is. Like, at first, every prophet and visionary, everyone's skeptical at first. Nobody likes anything. It's new and radical and original at first. It's all so uncomfortable. It takes a while for it to catch on, you know? Every religious prophet was looked at as a crackpot. More than a crackpot, a fraud, you know? At first, they were all thought of as just people who were insane, drunks, liars. Some of them more, like even to this day. But somehow, I don't know, when he came to me with this, I felt like I really, basically, like now I was living with a sense of purpose. And somehow, I'm not going to lie to you, I never had that before, you know? Are you living with a true sense of purpose? Does your life have true meaning in it? Definition? What is it? I'll tell you something. This thing can really give a lot of your personal lives meaning, and it's important to life on this planet. You know, it's sad. You know, it's still, things are bad, and in a way, we still keep thinking if we just elect the right leader, pick the right person, they will fix everything. They'll save us. We still think we just elect the right person in office, everything will just fall into place. We really are kidding ourselves, aren't we? That ain't going to happen. We need to do something. But what? The whole time, basically, this program is the answer. I got to tell you, I was kind of tossing and turning. I had trouble sleeping the whole night. I started tossing and turning. One of them smacked me again and told me to stop that. It's like living with a big family. You know, the less money you have, the more you basically need to become dependent on the people around you, the more you need to be together in one big commune. The whole time I remember in the morning, there it was. Once again, I didn't sleep a wink. I was sore, I was aching, and I was tired, but I still couldn't go to sleep. When you get bigger and your bones get harder, you can't just, you know. There we were. We'd walked all the way out of the forest. I was looking around, I was almost saying goodbye to everything. Goodbye. Goodbye, McKinleyville. Goodbye, family. Good riddance, parents. Like, come on, they did kick me out. Once again, I mean, if they hadn't, I wouldn't have this big discovery and what you'd call revelation of what I wouldn't have done on this whole thing. But they did still kick me out. I mean, there is the principle of it all. Then we got into this beat-up kind of old sort of RV. Like a big... And there was, like, stuff decorated all over it, you know? Like a trailer park has a lot of ornaments all over it in a garish, tacky, kitschy kind of way. There I was. I was inside the dang thing. And then we drove. We were off. I saw the sign saying, you're now leaving McKinleyville. I thought, oh, my God, I'm doing it. I'm really doing it, you know? A little piece of your life, your childhood, is gone forever. And I know that's the way it's supposed to be. But you're still never quite prepared for when it happens, you know? That kicked in the gut feeling. Now, I got to tell you something. Once again, I didn't get a wink of sleep. I got no sleep whatsoever. I really didn't because, yeah, I know. I told you that before. I'm not just talking about in the tent. I'm talking about when we're on the road. We were driving everywhere, and I just couldn't sleep. It wasn't just because of the driving. I get motion sickness, too. But I got to tell you, I was just talking. I was anxious to get started about this whole thing. Once again, take my mind off this. You know what I had to do? I had to become, how do I put this? I had to become this messenger, this prophet. I had to become this crusader. I was going to basically try to convince what he said. As a homeless person, to get other homeless people to pick up the filth and garbage that's everywhere and clean up the world and survive and get by and live like this. How can I live like this? Am I kidding? I can't do this. That's a terrible idea. No, I'm sorry. God, so I wanted to basically go back. I wanted to personally go to my mothers and fathers and say, I'll do anything, okay? I'll apply for welfare, food stamps, and government cheese like everybody else. It's not just for the brothers and sisters anymore. Things are so bad right now. Everybody is, you know? I'll do something, anything. I can't do this. I can't do this. But somehow I just never had the nerve to. I want to tell them that right now, but we're already out of McKinleyville. We were leaving California. I just couldn't go back like I smoked my hat in my hand. What else would I do? What else could I do? What else would I do with my life? What else have I got? This hero thing was too much. I didn't even know if anybody was going to listen to me. As I looked out the window of the RV, I watched the world going by. It was beautiful. We're going from place to place to place to place. It was so precious. We were doing something. Where are we going to go next? I got to tell you something. It was really epic. I was seeing the world. I kept trying to get them to stop the car. No, come on, stop. I want to look around. I want to check some of this out. I want to cherry pick. I want to see everything. The tourist traps, one of my pictures taken in front of the sites, even those billboards promising soup, pie, and tea at the next stop. I wanted that. I needed that. I was dying for that. But they wouldn't stop. We weren't a wealthy middle-class family going on, you know, to a local on vacation where we can afford to basically just part one. We weren't that. We were not that. We were people. We were vagrants who basically, I don't even know how these guys were affording funding this thing. Where are we headed? I finally asked. One of them smiled. The other side of the country. The other side of the country. Look, I was curious to see what was out of McKinleyville, and I was anxious to help clean up out of the community. Maybe I could help a little bit to clean up a little bit of McKinleyville. Not that it was that dirty, I thought. But good Lord, I didn't want to basically go as far away from my home as possible. Out of my habitat. This can't be happening. This isn't happening. It can't be. Kept on moving. Stuck my head out the window like a dog. I felt free for the first time in my life. Live free or die free. Before we go over there, I was aware of all the stats. I knew that basically a lot of people, once they became homeless, guess what? They basically stayed homeless. A lot of them died out there. A lot of them basically die. They freeze to death. They catch some disease. Alcoholism, and lung cancer. Some of them never even smoked and drank. They started until they became homeless. But I tell you, it was a time for something to happen. Was I going to start drinking to stay warm? What was I to do? Man, I miss my bed. I miss my mother and father, even at their worst. I can't do this. You're listening to Cocooning the Microphone. Phone, hosted by DJ Butterfly Feces. It is 9:45. It's 45 minutes after the hour. This show is brought to you by Maya Harrison, the recording artist and actress who has basically shaken up the world with her music, ways, and sensibility. Even after free downloading has kind of made music no longer the kind of thing people have to pay for, she is still out there. There. Please tune in, Cocooning the Microphone. I'm Maya Harrison, an organic OK product. Where are we going exactly, Smut? Miami. Miami? I heard good things about Miami. I mean, somebody mentioned it in Miami. Miami. A lot of Cubans there, because when they basically jump ship in Cuba and they swim all the way out here, this is where they wind up. A lot of senior citizens going there to retire. A lot of sunlight. They dump all their pollution. They throw all their pollution away. They ship it someplace else. California, actually. So, you know what? It's pretty, pretty clean. They got a beach of their own. This is a place where you won't see it. You definitely won't see any snow down here. I was anxious. I was curious. I was something. What was I? Oh, yeah. Excited. We finally got out of there. Thank God, finally. I fell there basically right there. We stopped at Miami Beach. I fell right there on the sand. I almost ready to start kissing it, rolling around it. I was grateful. Finally. I'd seen a beach. Once again, McKinleyville had a gorgeous one, but this was Miami Beach. I looked around and I saw just a lot of people. Once again, a lot of vagabonds. A personal term I like to use, homeless people in the city of Miami. A lot of them were in tents. Some of them didn't even have tents. You know what? I was taken aback. I thought, I got to be careful. I don't really truly want to be like one of them, but I am, aren't I? I kept pinching myself. Literally, I was trying to wake up. Was I kidding? Was I joking? What's happening to me? I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I sat around there and I thought, well, I'm going to make some friends, guys. I shook their hands. I was a hero. Maybe I was meant to be. I went over there. I told them my story. Listen to theirs. I told them my plan, my plot, my whatever. Some of them got angry. Why should we try to pick up all the filth and garbage? They throw us out here like everything else. Why should we help them? Besides, if we clean up the place for them, then they'll think that we'll do it. They won't do anything for us. They'll think the professionals who are supposed to do this won't do it. You know, they tried explaining to me. And this is the part that terrified me. Miami itself wasn't entirely clean. And here's the thing. There had been sort of basically an epidemic. All the public bathrooms, the porta potties, the toiletries, whatever have you, all of them, they all exploded. They had overflow, a big run of, you know what, toilet upchuck was running. It was running in the street. It was terrifying. Disturbing thought. It was especially worse than me because I had to go to the bathroom then. When I go to the bathroom, I asked. When I go to the bathroom. Where? I don't know. I said, I basically, anywhere. They show me basically the routine of basically how to just go in a bottle, a random bottle somebody threw away. The thing is, the bottles were getting kind of hard to find because nowadays everybody was trying to collect them basically for the return deposit money. A lot of vagrants doing that. You know what's funny? People who had a house and a job were doing that now. Remember when only the brokest people did that? Everybody's the brokest. I talked to a lot of people. I told them my policy. We need to do something, get together, and help each other throughout the whole community. Not just pick up garbage, but we need to pull our resources together, you know? Like, comb hair, clip nails. Maybe there's a place we can get some kind of personal hygiene thing done. They just laughed, said, how? I think we all need to get together and do it. All of us. But this was no cakewalk. I told her, like, every single idea, like, literally everything at first, they thought basically I was insane. They thought I was offering them pie-in-the-sky dreams. They couldn't believe a word I was saying. None of it made sense. Would you believe it? Couldn't it be done? Couldn't it? Shouldn't it? Wouldn't it? I got to tell you something. I sat them down and talked to them. And I said, we need this. We've been needing this. You know the messed up thing? Homeless people were getting blamed for the toilets overflowing because it was believed that basically that's what happened. Some people got homeless. They were living in there. And that's what caused them to explode. But no, it was the fact that basically there was some kind of problem going on there. Everybody was just using them. And because of all the budget cutbacks, all the tax write-offs and whatever, now the toilets were basically – something needed to be done. Really, this is what was happening right now in Miami, Florida. Okay, it was right. I mean, I had basically had just gotten off the RV, off the proverbial boat and or bus, if you will, whatever you want to call it. I had just gotten off, and there was already a problem. What to do, what to do, what to do? Well, at one point, basically, we all basically gone to the bathroom. We said, we're going to the bathroom a bit outside, trying to bury in the sand like a cat. But you know what? Here's the funny part. It didn't quite work, really, because there were people basically getting arrested. They were arresting homeless people for going to the bathroom outdoors. Where are we supposed to go to the bathroom? At one point, when one cop arrested a guy for going to the bathroom outdoors, I specifically want to make a suggestion. Okay, I tell you what, where do you live? He'll use your bathroom. He laughed and basically said, if I made another remark like that, he'd arrest me too. He didn't need a reason. They needed me. I had to do something. I was going to rally everyone together as a team. We all work together as a team. We all basically could have each other. You know something? Maybe those that basically weren't home could help us. So too. You know, it wasn't just about a question of going to the bathroom or whatever. We were basically getting, a lot of us were getting chased off the beach, you know? People were told to get as far away from us as possible. Because we smelled bad because basically we were dirty. And the thing is, you go to the beach, you know, when you get it from out of the sea, you're going to smell bad. You know what fish do in the water? They don't just drink it. It's a giant toilet for them and all other sea creatures. It's cool for you to swim in that water, but you better wash yourself off. There's waste and debris in the air, if you will, but as O.K. told me, from that waste, a lot of life. Life grows and develops and whatever. What to do? Well, the thing is, I join everybody else, you know, the whole panhandling thing, scooping around, asking for money, begging. It may have been charity, but it wasn't just, you know, a nothing thing. We were all in a bad way. All of us. We really, truly were. I try to tell somebody, please, spare change, anything. I asked them to spare food and items. I convinced basically more people to go around begging for handouts. A lot of people willing not just to give us food, but to give us their junk, too. Their trash was our treasure. We all started to pull our resources together. I was like, oh, my God, it's working. I hope that was in the best of health. I hope I didn't get sick out here. Because if I did, oh, what would I do then? What would I do? People need. I went to others and told them of the message, the plan, the idea on how we all need to get together and make this thing work. See, the homeless people, I told them, see, this their system, no, our system, is a lot like the one that basically they sheltered. Hey, where is OK? Where is it? OK, are you out there? Can you hear me? Can you hear me OK?
Yes, I can hear you. How you doing?
You're there.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the DJ Butterfly CC. Well, I appreciate the actual journey that we have been part of. We originally started this project 2015. And so what has happened is within the journey of the project, it was, hey, homegirl Maya and DJ Butterfly Feces and OK came together on this actual journey. We all going through a different segment. And as you see this journey unfold, you're going to see things that DJ Butterfly Feces have put together. Thank you, DJ Butterfly Feces. And everyone stay tuned for the next episode.
Okay, let's see. I got 3 minutes to go. Okay. Let me just start with this. I came up with an idea, a real idea, to help out the raging epidemic that was happening, really, personally, with all of us, that has been happening, to make sure that basically literally, we were all connected, just like the system that is keeping a lot of people sheltered, fed, employed, all that. We're going to have our own grid, our own system. Listen, what I did, guess what? I ran up and down like a madman telling everybody about it. I told them, we all stay connected. We all look out for each other. I told them my name, and God, they gave me the weirdest face. They gave me the weirdest faces, but you know what? When I told them my plan, when I told them the mission that OK had bestowed upon me, honestly, they said, everybody, thanks for tuning in. I guess that's it. That's it. Tune in for our next episode and get involved. Get behind the cause. It is basically 9:50. It is basically 9:58, and you've been listening to Cocooning the Microphone. This is DJ Butterfly Feces. Thank you. Much love.